Blog Talk Radio.
Yummy cupcake! Yummy cupcake! Fuck that! Fuck that shit!
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Today is Wednesday, August 11th. Glad to be here with you. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. That intro cracks me up, but that's a new clip. That was Cutter TML doing his imitation of the Isle of Cupcake. That was his own version, his own take on it. And I'm doing pretty good. A week or so after my trip way out west, then way out Midwest. And tomorrow, if everything goes as planned on RangerCrisis.com, you will be seeing my interview with the St. Louis Blues fans.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's always good for some content. So, I'm doing good. I was wondering, what are we going to do? Didn't we actually think about this? What are we going to talk about? And a lot of things surfaced out of nowhere. And so hopefully we'll discuss them. You have some secret stuff to share with me. And I have some secret stuff to share with you. So, share with me. So, we're good to go, Eddie.
Now, we already have a couple of calls on hold, and I will get to those calls in just a second. But I just wanted, did you get a chance? We missed you on Friday night, by the way, for radio, internet radio nowhere. We had a good time. Were you able to? Did you hear any of it? I won't be offended if you didn't.
I heard some of it. I didn't hear the entire broadcast.
Now, did you hear did you hear it was a celebration? Did you hear that part?
For what?
What has
been accomplished?
Well, on Friday it was a personal celebration. My boss was 86th on Friday.
Really?
Yeah. it was huge. Oh yeah, I was drinking Friday night. We were having a good time. My wife and I were sitting out here pounding the Bud Lights while I was doing the show. I opened the show with this. Anyway, I played that and played a couple other songs that were kind of related to it. But it was a proud, proud day, as they say. I was very, very happy.
Yeah. So here we are, and we're ready. I'm glad you guys were drinking beer. I got a nice big Budweiser right in front of me, and I'm going to be drinking during this broadcast.
Very nice. And got back last night from Nashville. That was, God, what a, just oppressively hot there and humid, just miserable. It was like 98 degrees, maximum humidity. B23 Blue Paint is back in the chat room. He's been gone for like a month.
Listen, welcome back, B23. You gotta take some time off from this show. You go Looney Tunes, but then again, all the people who regularly come to the show are completely insane, and we love you.
That's
right. We goddamn love you, sons of bitches.
All right. Let's go right to the phones. Hold on. Switchboard's acting up as usual. And it keeps flashing at me. All right. Well, we had Zach on hold. I promised him he'd get on first, and now he's gone. So, Newman, what's going on, brother?
Jim, congratulations on your boss getting fired. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very happy about it.
If only it could have been Glenn Suter or Jim Dolan, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, really?
No, this was better. as good as that will be, as good as that would be someday.
You know, Jim, you're very selfish.
This, yeah,
you don't
I know.
Think about
I am.
Us. Maybe we want the gold and say that it go.
Not in this case.
Thinking about yourself again.
Not this case. Yeah. Yep. This time I was thinking only of myself. Trust me, it's a good thing. So
well,
anyway, Newman, what's going on? How's Malibu Stacy?
Malibu Stacy's fine. How's your wife over there in Arizona?
She's good. She's not home from work yet, but she's good. She's very happy.
I'm sorry to hear she's burning midnight oil after 5 o'clock in Arizona right now. I'm so sorry to hear that.
She's on her way home.
Yeah, sure she is, Jim. Sure she is. Let me get the kiddies. Let me get the kids running the asylum over there. She's making dinner for you, too?
She'll make dinner when the show is over, sure.
No, I said Megan. Like not my wife. I said Megan, not Jen. Megan.
My daughter is watching her favorite movie as we speak.
Oh,
her,
God.
Her new favorite movie.
Now, were you drinking Manischewitz on Friday? You were actually drinking hard beer? I'm shocked at you, buddy. I thought you were drinking Manischewitz like the rest of the good Jews.
I'm not Jewish. I only drink Manischewitz. I only drink Manischewitz when I'm invited to Seder. not Seder.
I know what a Seder is, you jackass.
Whoa! Hey!
Oh! All right, Newman. We'll talk to you next week. You called me a jackass? Oh, well. Jeez, something happened. He must have hung up. Must be. Yeah, it's this switchboard. All right, let's go. 516-754. You're up with Trick Radio Review.
When is time to meet and greet with these people? We haven't talked one ounce of hockey yet, Jim.
They love us. What kind
of Facebook promising these people ad time? How about me? I see it's a whole new Jim thing going on here. Me,
oh, here
me,
we go.
My boss. I got a new show, la di da.
Oh, here we go. By the way, why don't you tell everybody where you're going to be on the 21st?
Oh, touche. Listen.
I'm looking for my invite. Nope, not here. Oh, maybe it's an e-vite.
You live in Arizona? I mean, we can't fly you out here. We don't know if it's going to be a bomb or a busted Ranger Fan Summit 1. We love to have you. I'm going to be waving the Blue Shirt Banner radio flag. But we'll talk about that later. All right, bring on your next, your next wacky.
I brought 516-754 on, and we started talking. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. What's going on? I'll get your the hockey going here.
Yeah, finally. Thanks, Rock.
Sorry.
You're going to be doing a show because Jim, no one wants to talk to everybody.
I need my help. I didn't.
He's busted my balls. You're not gonna ruin my buzz, Eddie. I don't care how hard you try.
Because I'm getting buzzed.
What's going on, Rock?
Good. I heard the show. I heard the show on the website. I was away last week. I didn't get the call in or get in the chat, but I did hear the show. I did a great job last week. So forgive me if I'm bringing up some past Ranger news, but I just wanted to give my two cents. And I'm reading a few things about Todd White recently, and I don't know if you guys – I'm sure you guys have read this. Everyone's counting this guy out for the most part. I mean, they're – basically saying that he doesn't have a chance, or he doesn't have a what's the word I'm looking for? That he's not written in stone to be on this team come the season. And I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they're bringing this guy in and they're basically telling him, all right, well, you know what? Torts has already said that he wanted to upgrade the center position. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, they're already kind of writing this guy off as not making the team.
Well, you know what's funny, and I know Eddie wanted to bring this up, and it seems to me like Ranger fans are at both ends of the spectrum here, and nobody's in the middle. They either think this guy's going to be in the ECHL, or he's going to score 100 points. And I know Eddie, you want to talk about that, so you might. I'll lead you in.
All right. Well, ROCK in the USA, you're right on target. With this whole Todd White debate that's been going on for the last week or so, you got Ranger fan, just like Jim put it excellently. Wow, I can't believe I got that out. Yeah, he really did put it well. A lot of people are saying, like me, I believe it's going to be somewhere in the middle. And I think it really depends on what kind of camp Todd White has. If he impresses Tortorella and he gets along with Tortorella, and Tortorella, you know, with his big first impressions. Now, one side says he's injury prone from last year. He had a dislocated shoulder. He had a couple tweaks in his knee, some knee problems. He's 35 years old. Perhaps this is the breakdown of Todd White. And then there's other people saying, you know, listen, when this guy is healthy, he only had 1 year where he was injured. He put up some points. What is he, 2 years removed from a 50, 60-point season? It might be even 70. I don't know.
I think he's close.
So you got how many points?
I think it was either 72 or 77. I think he scored 20-something goals and 50-some-odd assists. Not last year, the season before.
Right. So you got a lot of people saying, listen, he could put up those points. But again, he was playing with Kovalchuk and Brian Little. You know, I don't know too much about him. I talked to some Ottawa Senators fans who said he was really a dependable second-line center for them when he played for them in 1958 or whenever he played for them. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. On one of my videos, I really thought that he's going to spell the end of Brian Boyle as the fourth-line center. Now, as we know, Rock, you cannot – everybody's interchangeable. The Rangers have no number one center, no number two center. But once the season starts and it's the second shift, the second, you know, go-around with the lines, it's all mixed up anyway. So to project him to where he's going to be, yes. So you're looking for him to rebound and be a little bit better. You know, let's face it, folks. For what they traded away, the fact that they got anybody serviceable, is a win-win, right?
Well, yeah, now they get rid of Brashear's over 35-year-old over 35-plus contract that, you know, even if they sent him to Hartford, he's not coming off the books. So if White, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, shits the bed, you know, all they're doing is they're going to wipe off his salary and at least his entire contract would come off, opposed to, say, with Brashear, only $100,000 would come off. So in essence, from that perspective, they did their due diligence just getting Brashear off this team.
Right. And Todd White is only on the hook for 1 year. He's at the end of his four-year contract. My only problem with this is, why are the Thrashers, and I know the Thrashers got a whole new regime over there, but why are they dumping a Todd White?
Well, from what I read that they're looking to save salary. Now, by buying out Brashear, they're still on the hook.
$800,000?
They saved about $800,000. And I don't know. I mean, I don't understand it. I guess they're that strapped that they didn't want to pay Brashear at all. I mean, they didn't want Todd White at all.
I think every penny counts when you're only drawing $10,000 a night.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I've been to that arena, and they didn't even sell out for the Rangers. I've been down there, and I've seen them play the Rangers. And that's when they had Hossa and Kovalchuk, and they couldn't sell out that building. And now their biggest draw now is Dustin Bufflin and Nick Antropov. So,
yeah,
they're trying to save as much as they can.
I'm telling you that you know, I said on the show last week about Brian Boyle. What does he do?
Boyle is he's cheap. That's the only thing I can suggest that the why they might keep him around is if him and White say, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's probably going to be between Boyle and White.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, that's where I'm going.
And Boyle makes $525,000, and Todd White, well, we know what he makes. So I think if they're neck and neck, then White's going to go down to Hartford. There's no doubt in my mind. If they're neck and neck coming out of training camp, Boyle's younger, he's bigger,
mm-hmm.
and he makes less money. So if it's between the two of them, and then neck and neck coming out of training camp, I could see them keeping Boyle just because of his salary. And you know what? Everyone's saying that they're going to send Reddit to Hartford, they're going to send Reddit to Hartford, they're going to send Reddit to Hartford. Until I see it, I don't believe it because they've done nothing to upgrade this defense. Steve Eminger is a nice role, Jason Strudwick, Doug Lipsett type defenseman, but he's not. The defense hasn't gotten any better. Their defense has not improved. And he's not, you're right, he's not a difference maker. I mean, he'll be able to expel maybe if Delzato hits a bounce swing and you want to give him a night off if he's banged up, or, you know, if Roosevelt gets banged up, because, you know, he's due to at least get hurt, you know, with a, you know, some pansy injury once a year anyway. So he's good to expel one of these guys. But they didn't upgrade this defense. They didn't improve their defense at all. So really, if the only place the Rangers got better this offseason is their backup goaltender. Other than that, they didn't address anything. They didn't address their scoring. They didn't address their defense.
What about Frolov? It doesn't address their scoring?
That was my next thing. You're right. The thing that scares me, and I'm all for the Frolov signing, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was my next point. I'm all for the Frolov signing. I like that signing. No, you can't. For the money you're paying him, he's either going to come out like a bat out of hell, and he's going to put up 20 goals, or he's going to be like either Chris Higgins or Kotalik. And he's just going to, everything he does, he's going to play hard, he's going to create scoring chances, he's just not going to be able to find the back of the net. And that's either one or the other. But I also agree with you, that's a great signing. But now when you look at his numbers, you're right, now all you did was replace him with, say, Olli Jokinen's numbers. So now that's a wash. So now, again, you're bringing back the same team as last year. You didn't get any better.
Well, I can't see how Frolov's not an upgrade over Jokinen, over what we saw from him.
I'm just going by from a points perspective.
Right.
That's all I'm going on. I'm not, you know,
Frolov. Brock, what are we running, a fantasy league? What do you mean? It's all about the
Strat-O-Matic.
I think he's going to be a little bit better than Jokinen. I'm just looking at from a point. And then you also look at like I said last time, Prosper has a good year, he has a bad year. He has a good year, he has a bad year. So now, I don't want to sound like doom and gloom, but I was looking for something a little bit more than a question mark. And let's be honest, Frolov, as good as he is, he's a little bit like Nick Sheridan. You're not really sure what you're going to get. You're going to get a 30-goal score, you're going to get, you know, a 17-goal score like he was this year. So, I mean, that's my only concern. I mean, I know there's no
specific.
But it is what it is.
The guy's a mental case, right? He's got a problem with this again, and I don't want to bash on the Russian players, but he's got a problem with the showing up every game with his maximum, you know, ability and his focus on the game, and I think that's a concern that's kept him from being really good. I think for the money, really Frolov, I mean, unless he sticks to join up like Higgins and Kotalik, last year we thought, and I was going over this, some of my reviews when the Rangers signed him, I think the only two guys I really was really expecting to do well were Kotalik and Higgins. And let me ask you this, Rock. I mean, you were around then and talking on the boards and then teams. I wouldn't say there was a consensus that those two guys would add something to the Rangers.
Yes, and that's what bothers me, too, with the Rangers, is they always like these reclamation projects, these guys that have had good success in the past, and they expect them to come to New York. And I would have penciled in Kotalik and Higgins for 20 goals last year without even batting an eye. I mean, I would never have thought that they would come in and be as bad as they were. But these question – I call them question mark players, guys that come in who are – Their highest potential is 20, 25 goals. What the Rangers need is a guy that's a 30, 35, 40-goal scorer. And I know they're a rare breed, but why tie yourself up in years, and that's what killed me with the Kotalik contract, in a guy that's hitting 30, and let's be honest, unlike the steroid era of baseball where guys got better in their 30s, when you're a hockey player, when you hit the age of 30, you go downhill. It's like, boom, it's like this big drop-off in your production, unless you're Messier, you know, and you can stay an even keel. But
or Jágr.
When you hit 30, what? Yes, or Jágr. You hit that 30-year-old, that 30 plateau, and you kind of start decreasing. I mean, look at Adam Graves. He scored 23 goals one year, and it's like he turned 30-something years old, and I don't remember the exact year, but the year after Gretzky. He dropped down to 10. It's like when these guys hit 30, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop because eventually age catches up to you and you can't keep up with these guys who are 20, 22, 25 years old. So when you're dealing with a guy that's 30 years old, I'm always skeptical giving guys who are in their 30s. And that's where the role of confidence is a great guy.
Well, you just come on the record saying a 35-year-old Todd White. Now, he didn't get a lot of money, but Todd White's going to be a big surprise. So you're putting your faith in a 35-year-old. We got another guy who's around 35, 36, and Vinny Prospel.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. The Rangers really have they've screwed up the cap so bad that they have to take these guys that are reclamation projects because nobody else wants them, and they come cheaply. And listen, you know, again, you're right from the get-go when you said the Rangers really haven't improved their team all that much, if any. But what I think they're banking on is that the younger guys improve. The Ottoman is...
They're expecting 20 goals out of Anisimov. And honestly, to me, this is... I mean, I know we've had this discussion before. These two guys, Dubinsky and Callahan, are on their contract year, both restricted free agents, both arbitration eligible at the end of this year. Honestly, if they don't have a fantastic season, if they don't score 25-plus, you're looking at another big hole that season because these guys are going to want big raises, and they're not $4 million players. So, you know, they're going to have a big decision to make when it comes to these two guys. So it's really put up or shut up for Dubinsky and Callahan, and I know I might be in the minority for that with these two guys. And I know
you're right.
Keep taking time with these guys, but now they're coming up to where they're going to want to get paid. Now, what are these guys worth at the end of next season if they're putting up the same numbers they put up the season before? So now, granted,
they don't deserve that money.
And that's the point with them now getting to Stahl. The idea that Stahl's worth $4.5 million to me is absolutely asinine because he's our best defenseman. On this defensive squad, that's not saying a lot, but he's by our best defenseman by far. If you look at the numbers, if you look at their stats, him and Girardi have exactly the same amount of points. Now, Girardi's played 40 more games than Stahl. However, they have very similar numbers, similar plus-minus, similar numbers down the board, goals, assists, to boot. Now, Stahl brings a little bit more of a mean streak. He's a little bit better of a banger. He's a better defensive defenseman. But do you feel he's worth significantly more than Girardi at this stage in his career? And I'm not talking 5 years from now, because he might turn out to be Chris Pronger.
Rock,
if he's worth $1 million, what are you giving him? What are you giving him in his next contract? $7 million?
Well,
I think you got to start. You got to start low and make him earn his money. Let him make an All-Star team. Let him put up 50, 60 points. Let him be a Norris Trophy candidate.
He's not a 60 point guy though. I don't think he's that type of defenseman.
He might be. You never know. He might turn into that.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, the first 2 months of last season when he tried to be that type of guy, he looked about as out of place as I would at a salad convention.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't happening for him. And that's not to say that part of his game won't come, but
get too hung up in the numbers. There is no doubt. First of all, Dan Girardi, first of all, I think I attribute any success. I can't go that far. I won't go that far. But there's no doubt about it. Mark Stahl is one of the best defensive shutdown defensemen in the league. I mean, I'm not in top 10. That's the way I think, all right? Maybe I'm a stupido. I see things through Ranger colored glasses. I just, you know, I've heard it from other guys, other people in the league, that they really think, and we've seen how he gets matched up night after night against the best guys. And Girardi's out there. I think Girardi's decent. But I think he's kind of an overachiever. And you know, but for Mark Stahl, for the crap that he's had to endure, and basically, you know, staring at Wade Redden and all these other buffoons making tremendous money. And I'm not saying the Rangers have to go crazy on Stahl, but I think Stahl is worth it. I have no problems with Mark Stahl. As a matter of fact, I've always pointed this out. Going down the stretch last year, he really wanted to make the playoffs, and he really upped his game. There were about four players on that whole team who upped their game when it came time to, you know, perhaps make their playoff run. I'm a lot higher on Stahl than you are, and I think, does he deserve 5.5? Probably no. I don't think so. But,
Jimmy, don't get me wrong, bro. I think Mark Stahl is a superior defenseman. I just think that it's his first contract out of his entry-level deal. It's the only time that the team has leverage on these players. He doesn't have arbitration. Not arbitration eligible. And I'm not saying you should lowball him. And I'm not saying you should give him $2.5 million. But, you know, Girardi, you know, for all it's worth, he after his entry-level deal, he signed a two-year deal where his average salary was $1.5 million. He played well enough to earn another contract where they doubled his money. And I'm not saying that they should lowball him and give him chump change. I feel, you know, at tops $4 million is more than enough for a guy coming out of an entry-level contract. I don't know. I'm naive in thinking that. I think what the problem is Stahl looks at Roosevelt, he looks at Reddit, and he says, how the hell are these two guys making more money than me? And that's really what it boils down to, and that's probably what Bobby Orr is saying. He's like, look at these two scumbags who are taking a roster space and salary.
Hey, ho!
Can't get better because of these two guys and throw Chris Drury into the mix. And they're like, you're going to pay your number one defenseman significantly less than these two guys who are arguably your two worst defensemen on the team? And that's really probably what it boils down to, because Eric Johnson just got a new contract, and Eric Johnson, you know, I would think at this stage of his career is a little bit better than Stahl, maybe not as good defensively, but maybe on the same level, maybe a little bit better, he's played in the league a little longer, and he got a two-year deal at a cap hit of $2.3 or $2.4 million.
He's got some personal issues, Eric Johnson, that factored into that. He missed the whole season because he was drunk and got hurt on a golf cart. I mean, Mark Stahl's been a good soldier. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying you got to overpay him, but you got. And I understand the Rangers are conducting business here. That's fine. But the other thing is, Stahl is conducting. What do you want? Stahl just fall in line? Oh yeah, I love playing for the Rangers while his brothers are winning Stanley Cups. I mean, you know, this team is going. You just said it. When the whole conversation started where the Rangers haven't improved. Imagine you got to be stuck on this team. I mean, if you're a decent, above-average player, now, Mandel is saying, oh, we overrate Stahl so much. I don't think we overrate him. I mean, sure, on a really good team, he might be a second-pair defenseman.
He's the best defenseman. No, there's no argument about it. He's their best defenseman. But when you have
a team saying,
with
on another team,
a
good
Reddit,
team. Well, Rocky made some good points, and it will lead into a topic that I will bring up later.
All right, Rock.
you leave me on hold because I'm actually driving back from PA and listening to the show from my cell phone.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. Yep.
Thanks, brother.
All right. No problem. That was Rock. All right. Hold on. Let's take. I got two more calls online. Hold on. I'm gonna take. Let me take this one real quick. Eva, I know you're on hold. Just give me a second because we promised we'd get this call up first and. I know he's pressed for time, so...
Donald Brashear is in the chat room. That's beautiful.
Probably heard we've been making fun of him. Zach, are you there?
I'm here. What's up, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
What's up,
guys? How's Philadelphia?
Oh, my God. I can't wait to get out of here.
How much more time you got there?
I got until Sunday.
What are you doing? Are you in the drunk tank over there? Where are you?
What? No, I'm in New Penn.
I haven't been following your trials and tribulations. Why are you in UPenn?
I've been working here all summer.
He's a counselor. Remember?
Counselor?
Yeah.
Look, it's okay if you forget. Nobody really cares about me.
He's a mensch.
What do you mean? What do you do? Counseling? Like psychiatric counseling?
Anyways, so how's everybody? How's your summer been so far?
Mine's been great.
I heard you went on that trip. How was that?
Oh, it's fantastic. I went to Vegas. I saw Penn and Teller. You know those guys? I got to meet Penn Jillette. I was in that Hard Rock pool. Freaking awesome.
We're going to talk about hockey here. This is all about you. It's all about you. I'm hanging around with Penn Jillette. What are we going to talk about hockey
All right, all right. You want to go back to hockey? Let me say this one thing before we really go into hockey.
Look, we got two hours to fill when there's nothing going on. I really don't give a shit what we talk about.
Whoa, hey!
All right. Okay, you know the Philadelphia Flyers practice arena in Jersey?
We got Eva on hold. She's going to tell us her bra size. Yeah, what about it?
Well, I was there, all decked out in Rangers apparel, and yes, I had some people giving me some funny looks, including one of the ladies working there. She's looking at me, she's like, are you sure you're at the right place? I'm like, this is the Flyers skates, all right? She's like, yeah. I say, you have my reservation under my name, right? And she says, yeah. It's like, I'm here at the right place. I'm here to trash it. So let's go.
Did they ask you if you wanted to take a shot in the shootout?
No. No, they were all kind of confused as to why a guy decked out Rangers apparel is coming to a Flyers skate zone.
Did any Flyer fans give you give you the business?
What?
I said, did any Flyer fans give you a problem?
No, none of them did. There was actually a Devils fan there, and believe it or not, and yes, this is kind of hard to believe, I actually had an intelligent conversation with him about hockey, and he agreed that the Ilya Kovalchuk deal was a joke.
He even agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well,
so I guess there's one intelligent Devil fan and the rest are just a bunch of idiots.
I met a couple in my day. The Islander fans, you can't. Those people are morons.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple Islander fans, and they're okay. I mean, they really have nothing against me, except they say that I'm a Ranger fan. They try to use that as an insult. But, yeah, they're with the Islanders. They're stuck with DiPietro and the mausoleum.
That's right.
Speaking of Islanders and the mausoleum, to begin the season, I'm going to do the road trip. I'm going to go up to Buffalo to see the Rangers play the Sabres, then I'm going to come back to the island to see the Islanders play the Rangers, and then I'm going to try to go to the home opener against the Maple Leafs.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's a Ranger fan track, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at you.
Yeah, and then in January, the end of January, I'm going to try to do the Southern trip. I'm going to go to the Thrashers game, the Hurricanes game, and the Capitals game.
You know, they're in Florida over New Year's. It'd be a good
Can't go then. I'm going to be doing something else during that time.
You're going to be counseling somewhere else? Bringing your expertise to Yale and Harvard?
Along with a six-pack of Corona.
There you go. You drink that shit?
Well, it's one of the many things I drink.
Well, all right.
And then, of course, I'm doing my annual trip up to Boston.
Nice. All right, so anything else, my friend?
Go Rangers.
All right.
All right, I'll see you guys when I'm back in the city.
All right, Zach, we'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Take care, Zach, all right. My friend.
All right, we got Eva. Good evening, Eva.
What's up, Cupcakes?
How are you?
I had a lot of time to listen to that overseas. That was classic.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. How was Greece?
Good. I got in a little while ago, guys. I just ran home to listen to Blue Shirt Banter.
As it should be.
All the way from Newark, 3 hours later, and I got home.
Oh, buddy.
It was great.
Now, when you came home,
yes.
Eva, did you... Now, what kind of house does your husband keep? Was it a little disheveled when you got home, or everything was in its right place?
Not at all. It was fine.
Fine?
Yes.
He got all the women out before you got home?
He's a wonderful husband. He kept the place clean.
Oh,
we'll
look back. Did he greet you with a rap?
Aside from some body soreness, he's fine.
Oh.
Donald Brashear, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he greet you with a special rap of any sort?
No, not really. He was like, he was still chilling out. I don't know, something about freeing Wheezy or something.
Wheezy.
Dude, that
was
insane. I was crying when I heard that.
Well, come on.
He really had something. He dug down deep for that little something extra for that last That last
classic,
one, that's
sure. Classic. Listen, the only hockey news that I have, if it's even news, I'm on a ferry boat in Greece, and I see a Red Wings fan. So,
whoa!
Yeah. He's wearing a T-shirt that said Detroit Red Wings. I thought that was pretty cool. Because we're in the middle of nowhere now, you know? You got to understand that.
Yeah, no, well, Red Wings fans tend to be international because they have the Swedes, they have the Germans.
They had Chelios for 35,000 years.
He's Greek.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so this is good. And it was hot there. I expect that it was hot.
Yeah, it was hot. It felt like, I don't know, 150 degrees. It was hot.
And what kind of food do they have in Greece? Because my Greek palate has only really had, like,
gyro.
Moussaka.
Yeah, they had moussaka. Yeah, they had that stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, shish kebabs, all that good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we're talking about food now. Shouldn't it be hockey? I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing that all night.
Oh, all right. I better not get no beating. I started it with the cupcakes. And my icing was melting. I'm on hold for like 30 minutes here. What's going on?
Okay.
It's a popular broadcast.
Yeah, it is.
People got to wait in line. They beg
you obviously don't know the new protocol, which is the minute the Bouchard Banner Radio advertisement goes up on Facebook, you have to send me a message and ask to be the first one put on the phone.
Listen, I've been overseas. I'm sorry. 7 hours ahead. I couldn't do that.
Well, I want to tell you something, Eva.
Go ahead.
And I want to tell Claude as well.
Okay, he's listening.
We have, I don't really want to call him by his name. Let's go by who he really is. Donald Brashear. And Huggy Bear came up with a rap, and, you know, once again, people like to duplicate, they like to impersonate, impersonation is the sincerest form of Flaherty.
Flaherty? The sincerest form of Tim Flaherty.
Tim Flaherty. Flattery.
At least you didn't say flatulence.
Well,
so,
yeah, that's
could be
next.
That too.
If Jim could play one of our other callers' raps, not the full version, but just maybe the
unrated version,
the unrated bread and butter version.
You got it.
All right, so here, let's see if Jim's got it. This is the new cupcake rap.
Oh my God.
You really want me to play this?
Yeah, of course.
Not the whole thing. Play just the end.
Give us a clip.
Oh, the thing we opened up the show.
Oh, the thing we opened up. Oh, hold on. I had the other thing ready. Now, hold on. I got to go all the way. Okay, here we go.
Yummy, yummy, yummy cupcake. Yummy, yummy cupcake. Fuck that. Fuck that shit.
Oh, my God. Who is that?
That is a...
Rick DiPietro, ladies and gentlemen,
nice.
Joining us here on the show.
Nice. He's putting himself to good use, huh?
That was Little Wang.
Little Wang.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh, man. Good stuff.
So,
yeah.
Eva, I'm glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back, part of the program. We always love hearing from you and seeing you in the chat room now. The terrible twosome, Yog68 and Avery Rules.
Yog is terrible. Hey, listen,
what?
Somebody was calling him gay on Facebook. He's not gay.
Who said he was gay?
I don't know.
I'm going to throw down with him. Anybody steps to my man.
Uh-oh, that does sound gay.
Weezy Rules. No, not no. My man.
Free Weezy.
Free Weezy.
All right.
Oh, man.
Ava,
right.
Go relax, pour yourself a drink, listen to the rest of the show, and get some sleep.
I'm wide awake right now. I'm not sleeping.
All right.
We'll
talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take care, cupcakes.
Bye.
Bye.
Why the hell are we the cupcakes?
I don't know.
All right.
A crazy night. Now, can I bring up my thing? Have we gone through all the callers yet? I mean.
We have James on hold.
Oh.
We haven't talked to in a while.
Yeah, we haven't talked to James in a long time. Yeah,
all right. I'll bring James. Oh, shit. This guy. goddamn switchboard. Blog Talk Radio, fix this fucking thing already.
Hey, ho!
James, oh. How are you, buddy?
Oh, you guys, man, the language, I can't take it.
You know, it's getting worse every week. Do you notice that, James?
I know, man. You guys are terrible, man. What happened?
And we don't even have hockey to watch. I mean, it's bad.
Somebody bad rubbed off on you guys, huh?
What's going on? How you been? We haven't talked to you lately.
Yeah, last week when I was ready to call in, you guys weren't there. The other weeks I was busy and stuff. It's been a crazy summer. Still trying to get up to New York. A lot of things going on, so. I finally got, was home last week, and I was like, let me give these guys a call, and nothing was there, so then I realized you guys weren't going to be back till today, so I figured, let me give you guys a call.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you did.
Yeah, hey, and just to let you know, Ava and I got to know her through Facebook, and she's been teaching me Greek, because I know the words. My wife is Greek. Yeah, my wife is Greek, so I didn't know the spelling. So she's been telling me, and when I tell her something and stuff, she keeps correcting me. So she's making sure I'm doing it right.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But why?
She's teaching you Greek, and I'm trying to get her to teach me French.
And my wife is Greek and stuff, but she doesn't know how to write it. She knows how to talk it, but she won't write it the right way. So I says, hey, how do I write this down? So she tells me.
So, I mean, is it really you're genuinely interested in this?
Am I genuinely
interested?
No, you know what it is? She was in Greece. Here's the thing, okay? When she wrote up, I'm in Greece, this and that. My father-in-law is in Greece now. So I told her, if you see a little bald guy smoking a Marlboro with a mustache with some worry beads swinging around, that's him. And she's like, yeah, I've seen a few of those guys, Because all these Greeks, they walk around with the worry beads and stuff, and they smoking. And
I don't know why. When James talked about his father-in-law, I thought about the guy from Community Chest. The top hat. I don't know why that, when he doesn't wear a tie, I don't know where I'm going with this, but...
Yeah, same here, man. I feel like I'm out of the loop here for a while. It's not hockey season. There's been nothing really going on. Nothing great happened for us this off-season. Except to see the Devils screw up, and I knew it, man. I made a bet with some guy, man. I won myself $100, so I knew the NHL was going to reject. I mean, they were going to reject it, and the arbitrator was going to rule for them. Don't ask me how I knew, but I had a feeling.
Wow. Well, yeah, that Kovalchuk deal gets nixed. He's now an unrestricted free agent out there, and who knows what's going to happen. And I'm sure there are a lot of Ranger fans wish somewhere that the cap deities would grant them room to get Kovalchuk, because there were an awful lot of Ranger fans that wanted him, and I was just like, where, how are they going to fit him in?
Yeah, so. I mean, it's way too much, and I mean, we need more. For a foreign, player, he's pretty, he's pretty physical. I mean, not overly, but he roughs it up a little bit. He don't take no crap, that guy. But we need more. We need a sentiment, man. We need so much. It's horrible, man. You look at the roster, and I'm looking at it, and I'm still trying to figure out who the hell is playing where. And there's nothing. I mean, it wasn't like these off seasons years ago where they had all the money. Even though we're bringing in all these like the Flurries and all these guys and stuff, it's just so different now, It's like we just can't go out and grab anybody we want, whether they fit or not, whether they're good for us or not. We used to just overpay for everyone, and it was exciting no matter how, even though we sucked, but it was exciting knowing that we're getting all these guys coming in, and we keep hoping for a change. And now it's like, okay, we got to stick with basically the same crew, and we got to see Drury again go through another year and another Redden, and hope to God they cut him or something.
Yeah.
And what is there really to look forward to? I mean, yeah, we have the kids. But are they going to play the kids? And are they good enough yet? Did they get enough seasoning down in Hartford or wherever?
If you guys, James, your summation was right on target, folks. Again, I've said this over the years too many times. We are in the dark days of being a Ranger fan. It is not looking good, but I believe there'll be gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, I ain't drinking no Kool-Aid like last year. I'm going in with cautious optimism. I'm not going to get too crazy. If they get up to a fast start like last year, I was flipping that, calling for the cup.
I am so with you, man. I thought the same thing. I had such high hopes. It always starts off good, and then what happens, man? It every week we kept talking, and it kept getting worse and worse, and then they'd come out of it a little bit, and we had that hope again, and then it happened again, and then we basically knew we knew it was going to happen, and it's happened so many times now. I think we finally learned our lesson.
You know what? This team is just – I say this every week. I don't know when they're going to score. I don't know how they're going to get goals. But all of a sudden, you know, who knows? And I was going to spill this. Why have you on the line? It kind of segues into it. Remember last year when the hockey news came out with their predictions about the Rangers and we all said, what?
Yeah.
You know, they picked the Rangers. What? We picked the Rangers. They picked the Rangers for 13th out of 16, right? Is that what it is? 13
yeah,
or 16?
Yeah, something like that.
Picked up 13th, yeah. Because then, remember, we had Adam Proto on the show, and the first thing he said is, do you want me to apologize for us picking the Rangers 13th when the Rangers were first overall?
Yeah, that didn't last long, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, who's going to be worse in the East than us? Now, who do you think right now, everybody, weigh in on this? Say the hockey news, let me continue with the story. Well, guess what? The hockey news came out with their new ratings and their new predictions. And guess what?
With 16th or 15th, what?
13th.
13th again.
Yeah. I guess that's a good number to stick by, huh?
But you know what? Right now, I would say that's probably okay. It's probably pretty accurate right now until they take the ice.
Now, okay, let me ask you this. So you think the Rangers are – because last year, even before the season started, we said that the Rangers – this was a ludicrous. The hockey news knows they're out of touch. They don't know what's going on. I know – at least I did. And I'm sure, Jim, you were somewhere along those lines, and James. So now you're saying the Rangers are worse than last year?
No, I think, but I think more. How do I put that without proper ground? I think more teams improved than the Rangers did.
Okay.
Does that sound right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense.
I mean, I think most of the teams in the Atlantic got improved more than the Rangers did. We don't know if the Rangers have improved at all. We have no idea what we're getting this year.
So give me the three teams that are below the Rangers then in the conference. I want to hear it. I'm getting some answers.
Well, the Islanders better be one.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
They better be one of them.
If there's a God, the Islanders are one of them.
Who else? Toronto?
No, I think Toronto's going to be better than the Rangers. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They got goal thinking, and they've got some young guys who I think are going to pitch in.
Carolina?
Atlanta?
Atlanta's going to be bad.
Maybe Carolina. You know, Carolina's one of those teams that you always think they're going to be bad, and then for a while they are bad, and then they get hot and kind of throw themselves back into the mix. They've done that a couple of times. Florida. Florida will be worse than the Rangers.
Yeah, Florida will be worse.
Florida.
I can't say the Canadians are going to be any worse. I think Canadians will be okay. The Bolts should improve. I mean, they got Yzerman over there. They've got Hedman for a second year. There's Stamkos.
How about Jersey now? I mean, if let's say they don't sign Kovalchuk, okay? I mean, I don't think he fit in well with them last year. I mean, to me, once they got him, it took a while for him to score, and they didn't look right to me. I mean, they just didn't seem like the same team, and they didn't you know do anything in the playoffs.
I don't think he's a fit in guy anywhere. I think he's just a what did What did Steve Phillips call Alex Rodriguez way back when?
25 plus one. Yeah, that was it.
I think that's what Kovalchuk is. He's a, you know, he's a 20 plus one guy. I don't think he fits anywhere. I think you just you sign him and you throw him on the ice and he goes. But I would say the Islanders, the Panthers, and the Thrashers are the three teams that I think will definitely be worse than the Rangers.
Yeah.
And
I see a lot of people with anti-Carey Price. I mean, he was mediocre last year, but you're going to give up on him? You know.
The one thing I do like that we did was who do we get back? Biron?
Yeah.
Goaltender.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that. I like that move. I mean, at least hopefully Lundqvist gets some rest this year. I mean, that guy plays so much, and you could see the guy spent by the end of the year. That guy's wasted, man. And they need, you know, somebody capable. You know, at least somebody, you know, that's gonna, you know, hang in there. Hopefully, Biron's the guy. I mean, he played well last year. He was, you know, I think he's a perfect fit for us. Well, hopefully, he's a perfect fit for us. But, you know, because we know we're going to need goaltending. Because, like you said, we're not going to score much as the looks of it. Unless we get, you know, something crazy happens, man, and some kid from they bring up is going to, you know, some reason get on a streak or get hot.
Devin Didiomedes with 40 goals in his rookie season. And then,
I mean,
oh, God, could you imagine if that happened? We'd have Mitch Beck calling into the show every week.
Well, we don't want that to happen. Even if it did help the Rangers, I don't want Mitch Beck going. Love you, Mitch.
So hopefully, Gabrick. I mean, we need Gabrick to stay healthy like he was last year. Knock on wood, like I always do. You know, I mean, Gabrick's a great player, and you know, he's the one guy I think we can count on as long as he's healthy. And you know, what's going on with Stoll? Still haven't signed him yet. But
well, he's going to hold out.
He's going to hold out. Okay, so him and Rivas are going to hang out together, huh? Right?
I don't think they would be partnering up to those guys. They look like they're opposite.
But like you said, Ed, you know, he sees his brother winning cups, you know. He sees other teams, and what are we doing? We're still sitting here in mediocrity for all these years, and how do you know he's not tired of and wants to get out, you know? So, I mean, we don't know what the guy's thinking.
I mean, because anybody who signs into an offer sheet, you know, you're going to be paying Ranger picks and all kinds of stuff. It's not happening. He's saying it's just a matter of, you know, who gets their will, you know, gets their way with this, you know. But I think 13th is a little low, even though I keep saying how bad this team is. I just think we got to be better. I know we're not making the playoffs, so what's the difference? If I think they're going to finish 10th and 13th.
You know what? I'd rather them finish 16th and get a chance to the first round.
It's official, ladies and gentlemen. James is the first person to call for tanking.
That's it, man. hey, look at Pittsburgh and Washington, right? Right? All those years, Pittsburgh, man. Look what they got. Look what they're doing. They've been good, and they're going to be good. We're still here floating around in the middle.
It also helps when the NHL rigs the draft for you.
Yeah, man, they should have rigged it for us. We need them. But you know what? I think I would have been sick of that guy by now anyway. I do. The guy just annoys me. This is look. I just want to like slap him, you know? Doesn't he look like, I mean, the guy has all the talent in the world, but he looks like he's like, I don't know, like he's complaining all the time that something's not right, you know? Like he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, come on, man. You got a good team there. Freaking
platypus face.
Yeah, man. It's like you want to slap him. Like, freaking wake up. Open your freaking eyes or something, you know? Smile. Do something. You know? This guy looks like he's like, he just carried like 1,000-pound sacks of sand or something.
Yeah.
Well, and the whining and complaining, he learned that from the best. He learned that from the owner.
I say Mario.
He learned that from the best.
Man, I was at that game when David Shaw hit Mario. I was right in that corner, man, when that happened. What a great game that was.
What a great acting job.
He went down like he was shot, man.
Yeah.
But the only bad thing was I was sitting in the greens at the time, you know, so everybody was standing up, so I couldn't see too much, and I was right in that corner. And I could see the stick swing, you know, I could see Shaw swing the stick, and I see Mario go down. So, I mean, you couldn't tell, you know, until later on. I remember getting home waiting for the news to see what it looked like. And I was like, look at this guy. He went down like somebody just, you know, hit him with a 44, you know.
Well, how about when Graves checked him on the hand?
Yeah.
In the playoff game? I mean, how many times a game do you see that happen? At least 20. Graves checks him, oh, my hand's broken, but I'll be back in a couple of games.
Exactly.
That was just ridiculous when they suspended Graves and, please.
It's because it was Mario, right?
Of course.
It was Mario. You have to suspend the guy. I mean, no matter who it is. And, man.
Got to protect the Divas.
These guys got away with murder, for real.
So.
Yeah. All right. So there we go.
All right,
oh,
James.
We're finishing 13th. Oh. Okay.
All right. Tank, baby, tank. I love
it. Thank you, man. You know, and yeah, I want a number one over. I want the overall number one pick one of these days. Look at us. For years, man, it's like we keep hoping, and we're still sitting here, and we never get, you know, we're always just out of it, you know, we're the real good guys there, you know. And the only time we did get anything decent with Lundmark and Brendel in that draft turned out to be right junk. So we still don't. I don't know. Hopefully, what's his name? Gordy over there will do his homework and get us a good pick.
Oh, Gordy's the man.
We trust Gordy.
We trust. At least I trust.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. Because it was much better lately than you know a few years ago. Man, if it was like 10 years ago, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
All right, James. We love you. We miss you. Hugs and kisses to the wife and kids.
Of course, buddy. Same
talk
to
you
guys.
Later, buddy.
Take it easy, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right.
And speaking of Gordy Clark, Jim, a lot of Ranger fans were not happy with the McElrath pick. A lot of them wanted the Tarasenko.
Our draft is ruined.
What are they doing? And, apparently, this Tarasenko guy, who was later taken by the Blues, 16th overall, may not be coming to the United States. He's close to signing an extension with his KHL club. So JT can't be happy about that.
No.
That's for sure.
Oh, baby.
Wouldn't it have been Ranger luck to draft Tarasenko and all the hockey future people going nuts? We've got the Russian gun, the Russian man, and then, oops, I like the KHL better. What the hell was that?
All right, here's better. They draft Tarasenko, and they get ready, they get headed into training camp, and all of a sudden, he goes back to the KHL. All right, since we got about an hour to go, we got except for we'll bring Mandar on in just a little bit. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Next week on the show, we hope number 4, Ron Grechner. We hope, and we only say that because we've chased him for a long time. And it looks like it's going to happen. He has confirmed the date and everything. So next week we are counting on Ron Grechner to be here, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And then
yes,
the week after, on August 25th, 2 weeks from this evening, my personal favorite guest that we've ever had on the show, and I and Eddie, I'm pretty sure that if he's not your favorite, he's probably in your top 2 or 3. Emil Francis will join us once again. If you missed either of his first two appearances on the show, you got to go back and listen to him, because the man, he is an absolute delight to talk to. We just wind Emil up at 8 o'clock and we let him go.
I was gonna say, you got to tell him the story when you called him up to see if he could do the show.
Okay. I called Emil Friday, and I called him while I was on my lunch break, actually, and he answers the phone, and I said, "Hey, Emil, it's Jim from Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Hello, Jim, how are you?" You know, and we chit-chat for a couple of minutes, and I said, "Well, look," I said, "you know, it's been a while." I said, "you know, we want to see if you want to come back on the show and, you know, have some fun." And he said, "Sure, when do you want to do it?" And I said, well, how about next Wednesday, meaning tonight, because I thought we'd have him on before Ron Greschner. He's the guy that drafted Greschner. And he says, hold on a second. Let me check my calendar. He says, oh, Christ. No, I can't do it Wednesday night. I got this crippled kid I got to take to a baseball game. And I almost did a spit take in the car because I was laughing so hard. I mean, he's just – and you know, from talking to Emil, I think you guys have heard him if he's been on the show. I think he doesn't necessarily mean any disrespect by that. That's just the way Emil talks. I mean, it was just so funny.
I just think that he's just so candid.
And look at Cutter in 1945. Francis was the first Cutter. Old news to this program, my friend. That's the first story we got into with Emil was about his
glove.
That's right. Emil does repeat a few stories, but we don't care. I love them. We always get a good laugh when he's on the show. Now, even though I was in Nashville for 2 days. At a training seminar, and you guys know that both times we've had Emil on, we like to surprise him. The first time we surprised him with Gilles Vellemuer, who was great to talk to as well. And then the last time we had Emil on, we had Jerry Eskenazi. Okay, I wasn't sure. I always get the pronunciation of that wrong. Jerry covered the Rangers for the New York Times, Eddie. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Okay. Covered the Rangers for the New York Times back during the Emil days. We got him on, and the two of them were just going back and forth with stories, and it was great. And yesterday, on Monday, I was able to book our next surprise guest. And Eddie doesn't even know about this one yet. I did tell him that I had it booked, and we're going to play a little 20 questions with Eddie, and we'll see Eddie or you guys in the chat room can guess who it is. Okay. I'm not going to give hints tonight. You're going to have to – I'll give you yes questions. I'll give you yes or no. The only thing I will tell you is that he did play for Emil Francis.
All right, Mike, I came up with it hit me like in the middle of the night. Either that or with my wife throwing a shoe at me. But I'm just going to throw out – I don't want to ruin the game by getting it on the first call, but I'm going with Vic Hadfield.
Incorrect.
Okay, I didn't ruin the game.
I have asked him to be on the show, and I got no reply. I even asked his daughter if she would pass the message along to him, and no reply. So I don't know if he wants. Maybe he just doesn't want to. He just doesn't want to do it, or he doesn't care. Either way, I'd love to have him on the show too, but that is the incorrect answer. So go ahead and ask away. I'm not giving hints. For hints in the chat room.
What do you mean? Walkerchief.
No. Are you just going to name players? Are you gonna
oh, I'm going to name players? Okay. Was he a 60s to 1970s guy or a 70s to 80s guy?
60s to 70s.
60s to 70s. And you said he was kind of underrated when I talked to you.
Well, underrated, but in my opinion, kind of just flies under the radar when you talk about guys who had you know pretty good careers with the Rangers.
I don't want to go with forward to defense. That's too easy. I'll break it down. I still want to skirt the issue here. Did he have an outstanding season with the Rangers? One season you could point to the thing.
No, I don't think there was one standout type of season. In the interest of not just bringing this to a dead stop, let me take. No, I'm looking at his numbers right now. No, not what you would call a breakout type season.
Did he have a memorable goal as a Ranger?
Ooh.
Something really, you know, that we would remember, like. The older folks.
I don't think so.
Okay, so that leaves Demkowski out.
This is a guy that he's a little before my time, so I couldn't answer that definitively. I wish I could give you a better answer than that.
Did he win a Stanley Cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
He did not.
All right, so it's not Pete Stemkowski. I think Yog 68 has it, and it's Manerick Malik.
Incorrect.
All right. Okay.
Manerick Malik did not play for Emil Francis.
I know.
I'm yelling at the chat room, not you.
let's see. This is tough. Well, I don't want to go for... Okay, let's just say he's not a goaltender. We know that.
He is not a goaltender.
Okay. All right, so we got that. Was he a guy that played on multiple teams? I mean, how many teams did he play for?
Played for three, four, five, I believe five teams. Yes, five teams.
NHL teams.
And here, I'll throw you one better.
Okay.
Played for two original six teams. Excuse me. Three expansion teams, one of which Emil was also involved in, but not when he played there.
Okay. So it's got to be St. Louis and Hartford and also the Rangers. Well, either St. Louis or Hartford.
Not Brad Park, not Billy Fairbairn.
Oh, wow. This is getting tough.
Not Ted Irvine either.
Not Gene Carr.
Not Gene Carr.
All right. This is rough. I'm saying Rod Sealing. Mr. Francis Rod Sealing. I don't know. Rod Serling. Now, let's see. Right, this has got me befuddled, bemused.
All right. We have a winner.
Who's got it?
Mr. French. Rod Sealing.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Rod Sealing? How did you get in touch with him?
And he's not a... Would you agree that he's the guy that kind of flies under the radar?
I don't know much about Rod Sealing. I'm sure Mandar and a few other guys know about him.
And, you know, when I started to do a little research, he's 41st in the 100 Ranger Greats book. I mean, he's just a guy, you know, like Mandar's saying now, he was just a steady defenseman. And I first emailed him in May and didn't hear back from him until 3 days ago. And then we had it was like all of a sudden he remembered he had a computer or an email address or something. And he's been very responsive, and he would like to come on when we have Emil on.
Wow, I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, this is a guy that I didn't even think. He also played for the Minnesota Rangers. CPHL, whatever that is.
Yeah, I read that somewhere about him. He played for the Rochester Americans, the Baltimore Clippers in the AHL, and then was signed by the Maple Leafs, played one game with them, spent most of his time in the minors, and was traded to the Rangers and spent 10 years with the Rangers.
Wow.
And then he was
10 years.
And then he was claimed, this is kind of interesting, he was claimed by the Blues in the 67 expansion draft, and the Blues traded him right back to the Rangers.
Oh yeah, he probably had something to do with that. Yeah. So let me see here. I'm looking at this.
Now wait, Mandar is saying Mandar is saying that he was... Hold on, I'm going to bring Mandar on. Since Mandar...
Yeah, bring him on.
What's up, gentlemen?
Are you saying that Sealing was let go after he criticized Ranger fans?
Yeah, he was. He started getting booed towards the end, and he went on and he... It wasn't really something terrible, but it was more along the lines of, oh, you know, don't even listen to those guys. You know, it was known as a criticism. After that, he got booed so bad that Emil just had to let him go.
Wow.
16.
Oh, get into that.
Yeah, he was always steady. He was, you know, he wasn't a tough guy defenseman, but he was there. And him and Jimmy Nielsen were a pair for many years.
He was just a guy that kind of flies under the radar when you talk about, you know, guys that had long careers with the Rangers. I mean, he did 10 years.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know what? They had a real solid foursome on defense for many years under Amo when they had Park and Rolf and Nielsen and Sealing. You know, then they interchanged the other two guys in and out, but they basically went with those four guys most of the time. And he could, you know, he could score. He was a solid guy. But then didn't they let him go to the Capitals in the expansion draft?
Yeah, in 1974, he was claimed on waivers by the Capitals.
Right.
But after appearing in just one game with the Capitals, he was traded back to the Maple Leafs. Sealing would also play for the Blues and Atlanta Flames before retiring at the end of the 78-79 season.
Yeah, he was pretty much done by then, but he was definitely – he was always thought of as a solid defenseman. Like, and Cutter even put it up there. He went to the Summit Series in 72, which, you know, was – you know, if you were even brought in to try out for that team, you were considered, you know, in the upper echelon of NHL players. And
yeah.
He made the team, but I don't believe I think he played the first game. I want to say he only played in like two games in that 8-game series. But not very much.
He was on the 64 Canadian Olympic team too.
Yeah, he got traded to the Rangers on. I'm trying to remember who was in that deal, because that wasn't the Bathgate deal, was it?
Bathgate
was gone before that.
I think it was in 64.
Hold on, I'm pulling up Hockey Reference. They'll have the.
No, you might be right. You might be right, White. I sound like Bill
Rizzuto.
Rizzuto.
February 22nd, 1964, traded to New York Rangers by Toronto with Dick Duff, Bob Nevin, Arnie Brown, and Bill
yep.
Collins for Andy Bathgate and Don McKenney.
Right.
You are the man. You are the man.
You are the man, Mandaw. You put the man in Mandaw.
Hey, I don't even have to look that stuff up like some other people do.
Hey,
listen,
some of us.
Cutter is adding
us
to the program. Unlike you, who's sitting there criticizing every call, all that's ridiculous. Oh, that's terrible.
Not all of us are in our late 70s either.
A plethora of hockey knowledge.
I'm just looking at. I had my wife grab my Ranger Greats book, and I open up to the Rod Sealing page, and the first thing that sticks out is a finesse defenseman, not a bruiser. Boy, how many of those have we had?
Yeah. I think Barry Beck and Jeff Bookaboom are only bruisers who ever played for us for a good amount of time.
Harris and Captain Crunch, Gilles Marat.
Oh, Gilles Marat. He just had a good nickname. But I'm going out to my man Cutter TML, Kitchener Rangers. Rod Sealing coached him as a mid-season replacement in 79-80. So he lives in Kitchener.
Emil Francis, the Rangers' assistant general manager at the time, had been bird-dogging Sealing and Arnie Brown for over a year in anticipation of the big trade. I must have seen them 30 times apiece, Francis recalled. Believe me, I knew what I knew what kind of underwear they both wore.
Rangers had some good teams back then.
Very solid.
They were solid. Why can't we have why can't we get the hot tub time machine going and let's go back to then? Just skip this season because I really don't want to watch any more 2-1 hockey games. Get exciting, Rangers. Do me a favor. I don't care if you stink. Start getting exciting. Freewheel it, baby. Freewheel it with Eric Christensen. Sister Christensen, as I call him.
Sister Christensen.
And Todd White, I'm calling him Hot Toddy. I'm out of my head. Jim's like doing research on the email right now.
No, I was responding to chat rooms, to the chats. I'm sorry. And I was looking at the Rock Sealing.
That's a good pickup. I would have never guessed in a million years. Oh, here we go. The chat room is now rebelling against me with the Eric Christensen. All of a sudden, he's, Mandaw, please, and I know you're a sane individual, tell everyone where Eric Christensen belongs. Let's get real. Let's reality check here, guys.
Well, Eric Christensen is probably somewhere between the fourth and fifth line center. But again, you know, he's in that same mold. If you blink and he could turn into Todd White. And you blink and he...
69 points. Where?
He had a big offensive year 2 years ago, but wasn't he playing with Kolachuk? Or maybe we got White just as a way to bring in Kolachuk to convince him to come in.
Well, all of a sudden, and you speak about the convincing, all of a sudden you've got a lot of Ranger fans saying, Gaborik is bringing these people in. Gaborik got Bougard. Gaborik liked Todd White in with the Wild. If this is true, I'm getting a little worried because Marion Gaborik shouldn't be saying, listen, Glenn, we should get the... I mean, he should be just worried about himself and staying healthy. Because I got news for you folks. That 13 goes to 16 once Gaborik's, you know, groin rips off his thigh. I mean, seriously, you know, we really got to hope we get another injury-free season with Gaborik, and history has not shown that. But,
you know what?
Of course, I'm not wishing the guy any injuries, but I think we got to get real with some of these guys and some of these predictions. I mean, 69 points for Eric Christensen. Come on. I mean, you think he's going to play with Gaborik that much?
No. Well, everybody will play with Gaborik.
That's what I'm saying.
Joey Pacino is going to come out of retirement of the assistant GM from the early 80s and come in and play on a wing with Gaborik, too. Because the genius head coach decides that everybody should play with everybody because he doesn't
have a camp. The delicate genius.
I mean, you're
right. He's not that kind of player. It would be a shock if that happened, right? You'd be shocked. I mean, there are certain guys that every year, I guess, certain players on teams that shock you by having an aberrational kind of year, but he ain't the guy.
I mean, we all love, and we've talked about this before, but we all love the guy who's the overachiever and the guy is easy to root for. He's got some skill. He'll show a flash of some really nice play, but overall, Eric Christensen really is a guy that has never found his game. I mean, and again, to say that, okay, well, in this great New York Rangers system that we have and the brilliant coaching of John Tortorella and the nurturing environment that he creates, that he is going to improve. And again, I hope he does. I'm a realist, but I'm optimist. I'm not going to be a negative Nelly and go into the, again, realism says probably about 10th or 11th. But I got to be excited. It's hockey. I've had people with the Todd White. He's getting 65 points. He's going to play with Gaborik. I mean, you know, everybody's playing with Gaborik on his team. Yeah, which is going to be true, but not exclusively. I mean, they're going to be shifting in and out there. Dubinsky's going to be in there. Prospel's going to be centering them. You know, it just seems we've got to tone it down with the loving these guys because they hustle. And I guess maybe I shouldn't tell people to tone it down because, you know, everybody has their own thing. But my thing is let's keep it real. You know, let's not get too crazy. Oh, Eric Christensen, and it's funny, we're talking about Eric Christensen, but do you remember when he was, like, he was not signing there for that little bit of time there? All of a sudden, Ranger fans are like, who needs him? He stinks anyway. You know, and then as soon as he signed, it was like, yeah, Christensen, I'm glad to be back.
You know, Eddie, I've read so many, Ranger fans writing that we need secondary scoring, and what I say is,
primary scoring.
Well, that's all we have is secondary scoring. We have one primary goal scorer. To say that the Rangers couldn't use Kolachuk and he's going to block the emergence of one of our young guys, if there's going to be more an asinine comment that any Ranger fan can make, it's that if they're worried that Derek Stepan's going to be blocked by getting a Kolachuk, you know what? Block him all you want because the guy is in his late 20s. He's a sniper. Those same people that didn't want to get Heatley last year, well, you know, he didn't turn out to be too bad because we didn't want to give up Dubinsky. He was going to be youth for us. You got to, at some point, realize that you've got a given guy that's going to score you 40 to 50 a year, and it doesn't matter who his center is. Just like with Gavrik, he's a sniper. Didn't matter who his center was last year. He's a goal scorer. You know what? He makes the team better. And if it blocks a young player, so be it, because he's a better option than that young player is now and will be for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, we do overrate our young players because it's psychologically, I mean, it's pleasing. We kind of fool ourselves, you know, we're in the dark days. And to read how good these guys are doing in college, and we kind of place them in the NHL level doing as well as they do and are presently doing in lesser leagues and against lesser competition. But, you know, we all know in reality, you know, people, I see this on these message boards, all Derek Stepan, he's going to be like the next Messier in the room. How do we, come on, you may be the next Joby Messier. I mean, you know, who really knows? It's an unknown quantity here. We're talking, you know, and we're plugging on all these guys. And I don't know, does any other franchise besides the Rangers of late start plugging in 19-year-olds right into their roster? I mean, sure, you have your number one picks that are 19 that go into a Stamkos, or you get a Victor Hedman, you get a Matt Duchene, you get these guys, they come, not so much Hedman, but Duchene, you get these guys, they come right in, a Van Riemsdyk, first-round picks, they come in, and they shine. But the Rangers seem like they're guys they picked up, you know, like McDonough. I mean, I know McDonough is a pick from 2006, 2007, but the guy's stepping right from college. He's going to step right into the NHL. I mean, they seem to be skipping a step here, the Rangers. Aren't we supposed to? There seems to be a serious disconnect between their minor league system and the big club. They don't seem to want to groom their young players in the minors. Now, I know they're financially strapped, but wouldn't in the long run it be more prudent for the Rangers to throw all these guys, and I'm talking your Kreiders, your Ryan Borks, your Stepans, your McDonoughs, throw them in Hartford. Throw Gilroy in Hartford. And just see if these guys can mature the right way. I think they're kind of rushing. I think they're actually going to blow this youth movement because they're so strapped for cap space. I'm not saying all of them are going to turn out to be stars, but the one or two that might turn out to be really good might get ruined by this whole process.
It's a fine line that you got to, you know, walk there, because on one hand you want to play the young kids, but on the other hand you want to give the young kids a place to succeed. Now, I'm of the opinion that Grachev didn't need to go down last year, and people will say, well, he had a bad year in Hartford, so it proved that he wasn't ready. Well, I guess some guys step up and play a little bit better against the big competition, and when they're down playing against the minor league competition, for some reason, he didn't thrive in that environment. Some players.
And that still may have been a mental thing with him too. You know, after performing, I don't want to say great, but you know, performing okay with the big boys in the preseason, and then you know having to go back to the AHL, you know that sometimes has a mental effect on them.
Yeah, it does. I think people had a real criticism when they brought in Christensen midway through last year, rather than saying, hey, you know what, we want to see if our young guys are ready. Let's bring up a Grachev and throw him in the lineup, give him ice time and see what he can do. You know, you have so many schools of thought that are different on that. You know, well, we don't want to ruin his confidence, but on the other hand, we'll only know if he can thrive up here if you put him in the situation. So, you know, and then people get frustrated because you're bringing out of, you know, the organization guy to come in, and everybody wants to see the young guys come in. You know, the bottom line is that I truly believe you got to find that balance where you're going to win with the young guys in the lineup, or you're going to find somebody else who will make the team better, and they're going to win that way.
Yeah. I mean, It's true. And you know, Mandar, I think me and you and a few others are in the minority. I mean, we're going against the so-called experts who told me that Gratia was not ready to play on the Rangers. And that was a total, a misrepresentation of where his game was in the preseason last year, where we saw him play very well, especially with Anisimov. And sometimes I really got to stick to my guns on this. I really think that Kent Janander really, that he's got to go in the mind. They have to get a cohesive thing going in there. Kent Janander's trying to teach that guy to play defense. I could care less if he's a two-way player. The Rangers need scoring. Don't mess with it.
Wouldn't it make more sense to have Mike Sullivan coaching the Hartford team?
Who's going to talk to Al Troutwick?
Well, that's still all there is.
John Candle.
I mean,
bringing Terry Pern back for that.
If he's such a believer in torts, and you want to call him a torts disciple, whatever you want to call him, would it make sense to have him down at the AHL preaching, torts his system and torts his ways and to the younger player? I mean, to me, what do I know? I never ran a hockey team before.
Well, my big question is, we had a team in Hartford last year. Did any player in Hartford really improve to where they were NHL ready enough to take a spot in the Ranger lineup? Did the young players learn? Did they, improve their play? I don't care what stats say, and if we have anybody that listens that is from, the Hartford area that see the Pack play, it'd be really good to know that, because, people want to quote stats. So, before we were listening, Mark Stoll could be a 60-point scorer. Stats mean garbage. I mean, if the guy is an NHL player, you know it. And if he's an AHL player, you know it. I don't know if the brain trust in Hartford had brought the young players to the point where they're ready to step into the NHL lineup and not miss a beat. We got a bunch of young guys coming up. We talk about the Grachevs and the McDonoughs and the Stepans and all these good, young, talented guys that we're looking to bring in. You want to stick them all in the NHL at one time? Do you want to have them seasoned in Hartford? Okay, put them in Hartford. Do they get better in Hartford? Are they going to really become NHL-ready players down there?
No, Mandar, you make it. You want a guy. When you have your young players in the minor leagues, you want them to force the parent club's hand.
Right.
You want them to play. You want somebody to step up and make it impossible to ignore what he's doing. To make a baseball analogy, a guy like David Wright. He was doing so well that the Mets they forced their hand. They had to bring him up. Jose Reyes is another guy like that. The Rangers haven't had that in a long time, where there's just a guy that's excelling so much in the AHL that you just can't leave him there anymore.
Right. I mean, if you're a young center in the Ranger farm system, aren't you right now just busting your ass every day, knowing full well that that's a weakness on the club, and that I'm a center and I could be the guy there, and you bring your game up, and with the right coaching, you could step into the lineup and really be an impact player with the Rangers. Isn't Kreider supposed to be that kind of guy? It's Kreider, right? That's center.
Again, I think you're right. You're right on that. But the thing is, Tortorella does not like going to the minors. He brings his troops with him from camp, and then it's one or two guys he saw in camp that caught his eye, and that's it. There's no communication. Again, it's that disconnect with the minor league squad where Ken Janander called torts. Listen, this kid, but Dale Weiss is playing really good. I really think if you got a couple nights where you want to rest a guy or something, you should bring him up, give him a shot, let him go out there. And but that never happens. That never happens. I thought there was a terrible connection between the Rangers and Hartford last year. Listen, Hartford was banged up most of the year last year. They had a lot of injury problems. They never got off to the right start. I mean, I got sick and tired of seeing the Matt Savin, the Chad Johnson transactions every week. I don't care if they're in Hartford and Tortorella, you say, oh, well, we don't have to keep up a backup goaltender practicing with the team and the whole thing. That's ridiculous. You're not going to buff 80 years of hockey tradition, John Tortorella. You keep another, you keep a goalie, gets familiar with the team, the defenseman can go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, do you remember one of our shows, you were in the middle of a rant about them constantly shuttling Zaba and Chad Johnson back and forth, and while you were doing the rant, the Rangers did it again? And I,
yeah.
You remember that?
Come on.
All right, I want to bring Paulie in. Are you going to do a roll call tonight?
Yeah, I might as well. I've been
asked to. Let's bring Paulie in for a couple minutes because he's been on hold, and then you do the roll call whenever you're ready. Paulie, how are you?
Great, guys. Love the discussion, and it's always a pleasure to be on the show. Mandar,
love you, Paulie. I'm glad to see you.
Mandar, a couple of really good points you made with Christensen, but you know, my biggest concern is, and I know I haven't heard you guys talk about it yet, you know, going into the season here, we're looking at a real light, weak defense, and I'm sure you guys read the post today with Larry Brooks, made some really good points, guys. There's nobody there for Wade Redden to compete against. The guy's probably going to make the team. It's sickening, but think about it. Stahl's going to be a holdout. Who do you got left? You got to compete against who? Girardi? And Roosevelt?
Paulie sounds like Randy Quaid in Major League 2. You got nobody in the... Your old Mother Hubbard, and only Redden's in the cupboard.
I tell you, I mean... Look at it that way. Brooks made some really good points, kind of blacked me out because they really need to get his numbers off the cap, but there's not really a lot of competition for him to come into camp this year and unfortunately probably make a statement.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, but I do think, I mean, please God, I really can't. The way Tortorella does not like Red, and I think that's going to be the clincher.
I mean,
now you've totally deflated me.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
I got to see that Barry Lou Red. I'm going to have a heart attack. I can't take that guy anymore. He's horrible. I don't even care about the salary. He's a pylon out there. He's no good. He doesn't even help the young players. He's an abominable player. He's the worst Ranger defenseman I've ever seen live. And for a guy who's played for a length of time at the club, that's how bad this guy is. I don't even care about this guy. He's terrible.
I mean, Larry Brooks, this article that Paulie's talking about, for those of you that might not, that maybe didn't read it, he asked the question, what if Wade Redden is one of the team's two or three best defensemen in training camp? Well, if he is... Then they've got a bigger problem than Wade Redden. I mean, really think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, we've seen 2 years of Wade Redden. What? Why would you possibly think that all of a sudden some switch is gonna click in his head and he's gonna show up in camp and become some Brian Leetch, Chris Chelios hybrid from 1992? I mean, if he's their second or third best defenseman, the Rangers are going to win 15 games. They're going to be awful.
I'm telling you right now. If he's on the second pairing, I'm not watching any games.
If he's their second or third best defenseman, I'd be happy
I'm
to finish 13th. They'd have to overachieve to finish 13th.
I'll watch arena football or whatever they got going on nowadays. I'll watch poker on ESPN 7. But I am not watching the New York Rangers if he's the third or fourth best defenseman on his team. No.
Dodgeball on the Ocho. I mean, think about it. He's, you know, beat it to death. He's terrible. What? Why would you possibly – how could – if he comes in as the second or third defenseman, we're fucked. We're absolutely fucked.
Hey, hold on. Watch with that language there.
It's unbelievable.
You know, you'll be saying that out of the other side of your mouth when he makes that fine first pass out of the zone, Jim.
Next week on the show, Wade Redden.
I didn't want to poop on the parade here, but
don't worry.
You know,
poop it all show.
Nobody pisses
I know.
Nobody
I heard you. You know,
it's better
than
Paulie.
Let me get your Paulie. Let me get your opinion on this. The hockey news once again has come out with their ratings. I don't know if you heard about this, but they last year they picked the Rangers to finish 13th, and of course I was drinking the Kool-Aid last year. I was like all up in arms. Oh, 13th? Are you kidding me? They're a playoff team. Well, they came out with the new ratings this year, and nothing much has changed. They 13th again. So that's 13 out of 16. What teams do you think are worse than the New York Rangers? You got three teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've been following the off season and maybe getting you a little off guard here, but
you know, I gotta say that I would say the Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders, for sure. I hate to say for sure. I sure hope so, but
yeah, that's what I said. If there's a God,
You know, there's a couple other mixes in there. I don't really know about the Thrashers guys. Didn't they get Bufflin? And they've picked up a couple of guys. I haven't really watched them real close. I think they're hurting in net, and they're definitely hurting in some areas. But I would think I don't think the Thrashers are going to be real great either. Don't really know what Carolina's going to be like this year. I think they need to. They're not drinking the Kool-Aid. I know they're looking for partnership. They're struggling. I don't think they really spent any money. I think they're another team that's, you know, is probably going to go south. But I'll tell you who I think is going to really do a 160 from last year. I think Toronto is going to be pretty good this year.
Oh, well, don't talk to Mandar. Mandar is all
inside. I just don't see this love fest with the Leafs. Are you guys kidding me?
It's not a love fest. I just think they're going to finish higher than the Rangers. A love fest because I think they could finish 12th? I mean,
well, that's just if you buy into the 13th overall, but I cannot. What do they have?
Well, look at their goaltending, first of all.
Yeah, the monster really was wonderful last year. Didn't the guy have some sort of problem?
Gustafson. They got Chigarin Gustafson.
I really think you're going to be surprised. I really do. Yes, I don't think they had any great, you know, transitions or anything spectacular. But I think they got caught in a rut a little bit last year, and then there was a time when they kind of turned it up.
I mean, they got off to such an awful start last year, and they actually played decently down the stretch. That's what I think.
But you know what, guys? I honestly don't believe that the Rangers are going to finish 13th. I think you're going to be surprised this year. I think
15th?
I think we're going to be surprised.
It'll be the 12th and a half seed.
You know, I really want to stay on the Kool-Aid right now. I do like the back. I do like the backup goaltending situation. I think Henrik will be able to steal more games for us.
No Olympic break.
You know, if we actually do shed Redden, it's going to leave a little room to, you know, maybe do something. So, I hate to say 13th. You're right. You know, all our secondary scoring is other teams like third and fourth line scoring. So it scares me that way. But you never know what can happen. You got to play the games. And I got to stay positive until I see the defense. And hopefully McDonough makes the team. And, and they'll move forward. That's all I can say.
I think Paulie's just waiting for Dylan McElgrath to come on his team. He wants to see
him. Buddy.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know. I hope they do better, like you said, but I'm surprised you're going on the Kool-Aid and I'm going off this year because we were the opposite last year.
Well, maybe that'll work this year.
I tell you what, I expect a breakout year from my boy, Brandon DeBinsky.
Oh, here it comes.
I'm at the point, I'm not going to get on Paulie. I want him to be excited. I want Brandon DeBinsky to be a 40-goal scorer. What do you think about that, Mandar?
40, I don't know. That might be pushing it.
You know,
I don't know. Either I'm off my nut or he is. Or you are.
I think he's got the hands to be a decent goal scorer. I don't think he has... I don't think there's a right combination of players that he could fit into to be consistent enough for that. And we've said it all along, Eddie. How many since you know his first you know first 2 years or so he isn't consistent. He isn't consistent. You will go 2 or 3 games and not see Brandon Dubinsky out on the ice. He pulls a Nigel Dawes on you, and then he's hitting everything inside. He goes to the net. He's got some hands to
use.
You know, and that's the frustrating part.
Our thing all along has been, if he plays like he plays against the Flyers and Islanders, then that's the Brandon Dubinsky we want. That's the guy we want. And I got news for you. Another guy that we want, and he's got to show up, or I say he's got to be sitting, or he's got to be traded, is Sean Avery. If he is not going to do his act and do his thing, I don't want him on a team. I don't want to see him at the end of the bench just chewing on his mouth guard. I want to see the Sean Avery I saw 2 years ago where it was a difference maker. It was a game changer. He can get in people's heads. He needs to do that nonsense. And somebody told me that SeanAvery.com went down. Now, I don't know if that was done by the Rangers or if it's still up or what have you, but he's got to get serious about his game. I don't care if he's in love, if he's dating a model, whatever he's doing. Get back to it, Shawnee. You got to bring that because the Rangers don't have toughness. So they have to at least get on. I know I'm going to hear this, oh, Bogard. But really, that's a big difference maker to have that guy under people's skin. And the guy can put the puck in. I think he's more successful when he's doing that. You look at last year. We've talked about it. You know, he had only like 3 games where he got goals, and one of them was that Dallas game where he got the hat trick and he was all over the place.
Well, you know, pretty much Pruss took his role in the last quarter of the season last year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah. He's got to – he cannot be out to lunch for 50, 60 games, like 70 games. I can only remember like 10 games where he was – I thought that he was playing like Avery, we need him to do what he does.
Yeah. You know, that's a great, great, great point, Eddie. I think, you know, we've watched Sean Avery do a lot of good things for our hockey club, and there was statistics there that, you know, when he was in the lineup, the Rangers were winning more games and all that stuff. But you make a great point. If he doesn't bring his tenacity and his just his total agitating game, he almost becomes useless. And
he does because on a good year, he's going to get 15 goals. I mean, you know, on a great year, he's going to get 15 goals. He's got to bring what he's there for. And we're getting him on the cheap, and maybe that's why he's hanging around, because I think if he was playing, you know, with a normal Sean Avery contract, the contract that Dallas gave him, he'd be gone if we could get rid of him. So he's got to earn his bones again here. This was unacceptable, and I love this guy. When he is playing on his game, come on, guys, when he agitates and he talks trash, it affects the turnout of the game. How many players can you even say that about in the history of the NHL where trash talking or just agitating can affect the outcome of a game? And the Rangers are battling it for goals. You know, the difference between a Ranger game, a lot of times, is only one goal or two goals, and they don't score much. This is an important cog. He really is a hockey player. He's not bringing superb defense to your team. He's good with the hits, but he's not going to get a lot of goals. So he's got to do this. There's no bones about it. He's on a short leash with me, and you know what that means. Nothing, but still, he's on a short leash.
All right, we got 15 minutes to go. Do you want to do a roll call? We got two more calls on hold, so I will defer to you.
I'll do a quick roll call. Guys, it's not going to be anything spectacular, but I've been getting IMs about it, so yeah, I might as well. I like to satisfy Gustin.
You like to give the people what they want.
Yes. And here we go. Give me the the intro.
Yeah, it would help if I had your intro, right?
No, it's okay. You kind of gave me the choice, and then it takes time.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Have you happened to see the most beautiful girl? Avery Girl is here, ladies and gentlemen. And so to speak, right on top of Avery Rules, who Avery does rule if he plays his game, B23 Blue Pain. Yes, I've eaten pizza with that man in my garlic breath. Stunk. City Hockey Fever once again, the all-knowing, the all-wise City Hockey Fever joins us. The great Coochie Wally, season ticket holder for the New York Rangers, has moved up to the green section. One of the most dedicated, knowledgeable Ranger fans that I've known. Cut a TML, Leafs Crisis, catching on his new website on YouTube. Cut a TML is the guy you hear going, yummy, yummy cupcake, yummy, yummy cupcake. Fuck that. Donald Brashear, 87, a.k.a. Mr. Newman. Hanging it tight with Malibu Stacy, the love of his life. Thank God, because we couldn't deal with him before he had a girlfriend. Thank God he has found love in the afternoon. The sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. And then we have Frosty, a fan, a devotee of Bob Froese. Froese, who is now an ordained minister. I don't know. Frosty, it always seems like these crazy goaltenders go nutso. And, you know, I got to say, go back to Mr. Donald Brashear. You know, John Newman also, ladies and gentlemen, has syphilis. Now let's go on to Gong Mallet. Gong Mallet. Gong Mallet, you are a new man. And a new woman, maybe. But welcome to the show. We love to see new screen names here in the chat room. I hope you're enjoying all the craziness and the regulars out here. And we have many guests in the chat room. Guests, welcome. Irish Puck 93, we love to kiss the Blarney. Oi, and I like it too. I don't know what that's from. What is that? I like it too. Old Spice, that reminds me of Irish. Irish Puck 93, welcome to the show. Yacht 68, who flew in from Greece just to catch the program. Eva, we love you. God bless you. God bless you for hanging out with Claude, who's all drunk and disheveled. And then you come home and you catch him in his pimp hat doing rap. Jay of the Dead, who said, skip the roll call, let's talk hockey. I agree with you. Jolton Joe Micheletti, Joe, I tell you, he's a very knowledgeable guy. He's a little guy, like to come in and give his opinion, and his opinion carries much weight with this big man. LeBron blows. Yes, LeBron does blow because he cares more about championships than players in cities, and that makes him an egotistical bastard. Mandar, the continuing fountain of range and knowledge, fill us in with all. Hey!
Hey!
Stop calling me!
Hello!
And LeBron Blues. That was LeBron's agent who just called me. And then we got Mandar. I did Mandar. Mr. French is not in a French. Mr. French, the great. Rick Sebastian Cabot, who died unbelievably from a stroke and a massive heart attack. It's really, I didn't see that one coming. Paulie D, the great Paulie D, running his show, running wild with Chris Kostopoulos, usually on Monday nights. And he's got a guy there, he's a very knowledgeable guy from PuckLife.com. Check out Paulie D and PuckLife. We love him in Phoenix Ranger. He's been a real intricate part of this chat room tonight. God, I love that. People who actually participate rather than tearing other people down. Mandar, do you hear me?
Yeah, Mandar.
I know, quick release. I know, also, I didn't know, want to say Frosty watches that Hell's Kitchen. The finale was yesterday, and then I think of Hell's Kitchen, of course, I think quick release. Resident Chef, a blue shirt banner, he catches all our events. Then we have Ranger 84. Welcome to the program, Ranger 84. I think it's the first time I've seen you. And I'm trying to think what the significance of 1984 is. I know the 84-85 season. What's the 84-85 season is the year the Rangers went to the semifinals, I think. Is that 85-86? I don't know.
85-86.
85-86. So then you got Walker, New York Ranger. And Walker, New York Ranger, a longtime listener, a great follower of the program. And we love Walker for you, for your allegiance to this broadcast. Now, this just in, Mr. Newman, syphilis is negative. He is clear and ready to have sex with.
I tell you what, man. It took all of me to hold my laughter through that roll call. Oh,
the results are negative.
Poor Claude, man.
All right, get me a phone call.
They're not just my phone calls, you know.
Oh, there are phone calls. Is it this our time, Mr. Hand?
I'm with a little snack on our time.
All right. Robbie.
What's going on? What's up? The Mets are really starting to piss me off right now.
You know what I think's funny? The Mets have their own Facebook page or whatever, and they'll put out a thing about the game. Mets lose tonight, you know, whatever, 6-3. And then Robbie starts yelling at them on Facebook like the Mets are sitting there reading it. Robbie's like, what the hell were you thinking going with Tobiashi in the ninth inning? You know, he stinks. I hate this team.
Exactly. That's what I do. I can't help myself. This team is just unreal. They gave up a Acosta gave up a grand slam in the eighth inning to Melvin Moore, and they lost 6-2.
Oh, Snick, come on. Why are you even watching? What are you torturing?
I don't know.
Robbie, I told you 3 weeks ago they're finished, so you gotta listen to me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, do you think that Grievous will re-sign with the Jets?
No, they're going to trade him for Mark Stahl.
Yeah, two holdouts. Revis, well, Stahl isn't a holdout.
When does it become Sports Center? Robbie, you got a Ranger-oriented question here. We have 10 minutes here, not 8 minutes.
No. There's one thing I had to bring up about the Knicks. I'm very sorry. You have to
say the Knicks? Cut him off.
You're gone. You're going to get
hold on. Let me get this out.
No. I'm not listening to you, Jeffrey. I'm not listening.
Come on, Robbie.
I'll say something about the Rangers. Right, let's see. What do we got here? What did you say? Well, I don't know. I got nothing to say because I was bored. I don't know. This is one of my worst call-ins.
All right, Robbie.
I don't know. The only thing is, I'm looking forward to the Rangers. That's all fire safe. That's all I got to say. I was bored. I had nothing else to do. I call in. I ran out of stuff tonight.
All right. Bye, Robbie.
Bye. Bye. Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you? What are we, grandparents? grandparents here now.
Uncle Jim and Uncle Eddie.
Oh, jeez.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna read this to you real quick. This is an email I got. How's it going, Jim? I'm getting bad withdrawal symptoms, not seeing hockey. Can't believe it's still 2 months away. Thanks again for putting my audio on. I'll do it. Having great fun listening to your old shows. Just listen to your roundtable with the other Atlantic Division SB Nation guys. And also you announced Eddie was joining the network. God answered my prayers with Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and I'm not a religious person. That's Chris from the UK, our very loyal listener over there. He loves it. He just absolutely adores us.
I love it. People clutch you.
All right, last call of the evening. Are you ready for Cutter? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, it should. Jeff's got a lot to say.
Jeff, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry,
now,
I have to do that.
Oh, no problem, Jeff. Now, can you tell Mando why the Leafs are going to be better this year?
Well, the Leafs have done a lot of off-season moves and all that. Ever since Burke came in, I mean, he's pretty much been giving the Leafs credibility that we haven't had since Fletcher in the 90s.
Right. I mean, I like the defense. What do they got? They got Cabrelet. They've got Fanouf, Luke Shen, Komisarek. The Boucherman. And then on in their forward, they got this guy Joey Crabbe. I think they're going to be better.
Jeff, you're supposed to be telling Mandar why the Leafs are going to be better, not Eddie.
You can't get it off of looking it up on Wiki.
He just threw the gauntlet at you, Jeff.
Sure. Okay. Anyway,
so,
I know I gotta make this short. I know.
Okay.
Basically, what I was going to call about is about the Kovalchuk, the arbitration thing. There is a basic reason why they didn't want that contract. So the NHL didn't want the contract.
Why is that?
I was thinking about what it was, but remember when DiPietro got that 15-year contract from New York? I think with DiPietro's suckiness and his injuries and all that, they don't want like a star player getting hurt before their time.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
I agree. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. And for all those Boucher Banner people who may have heard about a hockey tournament I'm trying to do, I switched franchises from the NHL series to the NHL 2K series for the PlayStation 2. I made up a schedule today. The Rangers will have one home game and two away. And no, they don't play the Islanders. Basically how I did it was that it was recent Stanley Cup matchups. I was trying to create them. So New York will get to go. Will host the Canucks, a repeat of '94. They're going to Boston, like a rematch of '72, and they'll be headed to Toronto, I believe, like early 1940. The second last time the Rangers won the Cup was at the expense of the Leafs. Well, the Islanders get Edmonton, Dallas, and Vancouver on their roster. So basically, the Rangers will do a hell of a lot better than the Islanders, I pray.
Let's hope so.
From your lips to God's ears.
Don't worry, I'll make this quick. Just listen to Leafs Crisis on YouTube. I know I have to upload the things to my Facebook page of Leafs Crisis. So you should check it out.
I'm checking it out, and I will have that wrap.
I apologize for the profanity at the end of the wrap because I didn't think that was going to be such a big deal.
No, it's fine. We love it.
We love the insanity.
All right, Cutter, we got to run. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I better let you guys go. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, brother.
He's going to let us go. We appreciate it.
I love the man. Any person who comes to the show and contributes in any way, shape, or form. Go ahead. Do your wrap-up.
Well, we have a minute to go. We just want to thank you guys for listening. Next week on the show, Ron Greshner, we hope. And in 2 weeks, Emil Francis and Rod Sealing. And since a bunch of you were asking for this in the chat room, we'll let the Islanders fight song play us out. We'll see you guys next Wednesday night.
You're my honey bun, sugar plum, pumpy, yumby, yumpkin. You're my sweetie pie. snickle becomes your the apple of my eye. And I love you so, and I want you to know that I'll always be right here. And I love to sing three songs to you because you are so dear.
Wow, I timed that perfectly. The song ended and we're off the air.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to watch Jet Hard Knocks right now, okay? So I'm gonna head out of here.
All right, fellas.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye.